Hey, Lindy, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you today. You're a sex, love, and relationships coach, or also, you know, as we had just said, an intimacy coach, or you work with people, you know, just exploring various aspects of sex and love and relationships and, you know, tantra and neo-tantra and a whole world of exciting and, you know, not very often spoke about things. So it's going to be a fun conversation today. So how about we start with, how did you get into this field?
Okay, got into this field on my personal journey. It led me there. I had experience that a lot of stuff I've been taught as growing up as a child, wasn't said, and I had to learn from my peers or my friends at that time when I was a teenager. And then obviously I was left for marriage. And then I had to figure out this whole concept about how we never speak about this stuff. And it's so necessary. I understand the environment doesn't allow us because we get judged. So to answer your question, I started in this field because the need was there for me. And that's how everything is created in life itself. If you see a need, then it's created. Mm. So that's my juicy story.
No, that makes sense, right? And yeah, and that makes sense. It's like, you know, people will see a lack in their lives for a particular thing or where there's space that needs to be filled, and they'll figure out how to do it. And you know, even if it takes a few years, and then eventually many get to a point where they're like, oh, well, if I learned how to do it and other people are in the same boat as me, I can teach them, you know, or help them along their journey and get them to figure out, you know, what the fuck's going on or whatever.
I'm so glad you're swearing now. I wasn't sure if we could swear. Okay, carry on.
No, yeah. This is a free podcast.
Okay, good.
You can say anything you would like. So what kind of clients do you work with? Like, what are people coming to you with these days?
Specifically, it's we are really disconnected. We are disconnected from our being, our sexual being, whatever that is. A lot of women don't know what sexual, like myself included, when I started my journey, I didn't know what sexuality meant to me. As I mentioned, it is not talked about, and we are, as women, we don't know the capacity of power we have in our sexuality, and if we start claiming it, so a lot of women comes to me about exactly that. They feel disconnected. They having pain during sex because they're not listening to their body, and they not honoring their body. And we're not taught to we as women are supposed to just give and not say no, because it's about the man. And that's that. I'm saying that in a humble way, not like I'm attacking you guys, because we haven't spoke about this in many generations to come. And yes, our generations before us was liberated, but if I had to refer to that, like, there was a lot of liberated people before us, but the core essence, the integrating all of you and still being in society was missing. So there was the hippie age that, woohoo, peace for all. There was something missing, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you touched on a good point about being disconnected from our bodies, right? Where we live in a very strange world or time where we're so focused on what's happening inside of our heads, you know, with our thoughts and what we think of this and what does it mean, and judging ourselves and judging other people, that we don't, you know, take time. And also it's, you know, because as you say, like, it hasn't been taught, but not at anyone's particular fault. It's just, that's just how people are these days, where it's, we a lot of people, we don't have that connection to, you know, what's my body saying right now? What does it need? What am I feeling? What does it mean, you know, when I feel this or that? And then how to deal with it, and where to go, and how to approach it. And so, you know, of course, that would necessarily translate into all aspects, including, you know, a sex life, where it's just a bunch of signals that you're getting that you're just like, oh, I don't know what all of this is. I don't know what it means. And that can be very scary, right? And so fear is certainly a big part of it as well. Like, even just the fear to talk about it, or to, you know, I mean, how do you bring it, how and who do you bring it up in conversation with? You know, you can't bring it up exactly at the dinner table. and, you know, so people will turn to other sources. But that's why we have you, you know, so that you can help explain it to everyone. So how does fear, like, come into it?
It's definitely a topic on our family dining table. But when we go to people, I say, okay, kids, we must act normal now. So you remember what mommy said, all that stuff. Don't tell your friends that. It's only mommy telling you that. So getting back to fear, fear to me is, I had a, when I started working on my sexuality and had to reclaim this thing, there's a fear of me hurting my husband's feelings on saying what I want. So I had to embrace this fear. I had to love it even more, because it's a feeling within us. It's signaling something to us. So what I've done is, and this is for any relationship as well, as you have to come in a communication with this partner, because holy fuck, you're having sex with him. Why can't you communicate with him? That needs to be signals. If you can't be communicating to each other, then you need to, whoa, why can't I communicate?
Yeah. That is funny.
Because that already should, hey, what's happening here? So so what happened, it wasn't easy, because remember if we go into the core healing of our being, it's not just, okay, it's like an onion. So you are healing past traumas and stuff like that, but there's more layers to it. And then you get to layers where it's you healing for the collective. It's all of us are feeling it. It's not just yours. It's not just mine. It's all of us is feeling this. So that's going into those core feelings. So at the end of the day, I had myself and you must really consider this when you have a partner, and you must be open to have a place of safety. And you can be open to discuss this, and be very wary if you can't discuss stuff in your bedroom, because where can you then? So consider that. So so I had opened to my husband. This is, I don't really know what it means, the term sexuality, but I'm going to claim my sexuality. And then, okay, I have this request, and then you start speaking up. And myself as a lady had been limited. As soon as I got excited or too much. Stop it, Lindy. So I constantly got dimmed. So I had that programming from my childhood, right? So as soon as I get very excited, and remember, as soon as I cultivate the sexual energy, and it doesn't have to be in a sexual content, that listeners must understand. Yes, you can use it for your lover or so, but you can use it, we use it every day. I mean, we're creating. What form of energy do you think we're using? It's It's interesting to think about that. I hope I answered your question now, so I got distracted.
Yeah, no, for sure. It is. And, you know, I like what you were saying about how the energy that we, you know, use for creativity and for living and for love and for, you know, prosperity or for happiness or whatever it is. I mean, ultimately, it all comes down to just versions of the same thing, right? And it's just a little bit here or a little bit there. And, you know, being able to cultivate that and to recognize it and use it to empower yourself and to empower other people brings a lot of joy and happiness to your interactions with people, how you deal with things. And as you say, I mean, it doesn't have to just be about sex or whatever it is. It's everything, but it's also that, right? And so being able to, you know, embrace it and deal with the fear and be aware of our levels of conditioning, you know, this is what you were saying about the onion, I think, is that once we start to become aware of why we think and feel the way we do, and not in a judgmental way, just in a sort of matter-of-fact way. So it's like, okay, well, I see that I have a pattern of doing this when this happens. What? Why? What's, you know, and it's easy to jump to like, oh, well, what's wrong with me, or I suck, or they suck, or whatever it is. And, you know, that's an easy route to go. But ultimately, it's like, well, why am I doing it like this? And then you can trace it back to various events in childhood or, you know, societal or cultural aspects of it. And that's okay. I mean, it's fine. You know, we don't need to judge it as whatever it is. But once you're aware of it, then you can start making different choices to be able to, you know, act and be different in the future, like with practice, right? Because it's not easy, because it feels foreign and it feels like, you know, new and, you know, to some degree it's scary and, you know, what might happen and, well, oh, what if I do this? What if this goes wrong? And there's all those layers to it as well, right? Yeah. But it's really something that's ultimately very self-empowering to be able to do that. And it, you know, it is like it's a love for yourself first, and then it expands out to other people.
Well, that's juicy.
Does that line up with what you're saying?
Totally. It is, and it's all about empowerment.
Yeah.
And with empowerment comes with power, comes responsibility, and that's the hard one. We want to pay a coach or a personal trainer.
Yeah.
So get me there. I want to look like this. Hard work starts with you.
Yeah. Fix me.
Yeah. Fix me up.
No, it's true. We do that, right? We go to people, even like therapists or whatever it is, you go and you're like, all right, this doesn't feel good, or something sucks, or something's not working, fix it. You do it. I don't want to do the work because it's a lot of time and effort for me that I don't want to do. And I got to face all these internal fears that I have and, you know, all sorts of rearranging and, you know, living with these thoughts and confusions and dealing with new situations. And it's hard. And, you know, a lot of the times it's uncomfortable and unpleasant. And despite the fact that you know that the result will probably be good for you, there's still that massive resistance, right? Mm. So how do you work with people to counter that resistance?
So everybody is in a different level regards to that. But we work with the... there is a statement that Peter Levine's work, Semantic Experiences, or he does trauma release therapy and a lot of them out there, but he uses the term body-mind. So that is intelligence beyond our mind. Do you know the word? Do you know the work or not?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I think, is he the guy who wrote the book Something About the Tiger?
Waking Up the Tiger.
I don't know.
Well done. Yes.
Waking the Tiger. Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice book. Very nice
book. So, yeah, anyway, carry on.
I recommend to all the listeners.
Yeah, brilliant.
Go read that book. Okay, and then you can all be tigers. Come to me then. I'll come tame your tigers. So, what
You know...
Yeah, let's go tigerish. Okay, so coming back to the point is, so it's difficult for me to say, okay, this pull will work for this guy. So it's really getting to know your body and your body's capacity. So when it comes to healing, it's not this line we see, and it works like this. It's like it's going like a wave the whole time. So it's like, whoa, now I can do it. No, I can't. So it's understanding your nerve system, and coming back to knowing this, where the disconnection comes in, coming to your connection with your body and learning, because in that practice on the resistance, there is a lot of love that needs to be incorporated, because we have not been taught love. We have been taught conditions on love, but not love. So it's learning to love yourself without any conditions. And in that moment when you feel like you're going to just jump, yes, I'm going to do it. At that moment, you need the most love, because you're cheering yourself on and nobody else. And you're not having fans. You're your only biggest fan. I actually watched a video last night, and the guy said, is we constantly create for getting the gold, getting the money, getting there somewhere, but then we constantly forgetting the moment. And that struck me, because it's about the now. It's about, what is it? I'm happy now, not if that happens. I'm getting totally off the bandwagon. I hope I answer. So my question was
no,
to
go
resist.
For it.
So the question was to resistance. So I don't want to say there's a one size fits all, but we go really for you to learn your nerve system and what is needed in that moment. So love needs to be incorporated. That's the whole thing. We fight battles with more battles, fear with fear. That's no answer, dude. You're going to create more of that.
That's a good answer. Right. And what it means for us to treat ourselves with love in, you know, these difficult situations where we get into positions that we're trying to, you know, conquer fear or change our ways of behaving or doing various things. And that the most important thing there for us is to be able to love ourselves and not to try and go and find it in other places or from somewhere else, and to just know that we have the capacity to love ourselves and to treat ourselves with compassion and with care and with kindness. And, you know, it's really through that we're going to find the growth and the change necessary and the strength to be able to, you know, transform how we do things now into something infinitely better and, you know, more fun and enlivening for everyone, right?
And what I would just like to add to what you're saying there, can I add something? Is you say by the knowing, but it's not about knowing. It's coming back into the body, allowing you to come into your primal brain, because that's where the healing occurs. And it's not about trying, because as soon as you try, you're in your head again. Trying is lying. So it's about doing. So applying the knowledge, and then it becomes wisdom. Otherwise, you're just bullshitting yourself.
Right. So how would you sort of suggest we one can go about that? Like, what's the first step to being at that level?
It depends on if you want to work on your sexuality. So if you want to work on your sexuality and that level, I would, okay, but I mean applying to that content. So I would say spending time with yourself. And not spending time with yourself in a nice, structured, sacred space that you created for yourself, whatever that means to make it sacred to you. And just spending the day off or let's say for a lot of people, because for myself, like when I had to take 5 minutes for myself, just for myself, locked me in a room and it's just me. And now I have to spend time with myself. So what do I do with myself? No. I don't have to go create. I am coming to me. I'm going inwards. I'm going to, what is it I love? What is it? What touch do I love? What is it sensually that I love? What is it that I really like? So it's getting to know yourself all over. And when that boringness occurs, like, oh, I can't do this. What the hell? This is really boring. What am I doing? I could go watch TV. I could go do a million stuff. But this is really boring. So when you get to that stage, that is where the most growth occurs, because it's in those stages being aware, what is it that's keeping you from yourself? Yeah. So I do encourage people.
Because that boredom comes in as a like resistance.
Yeah, well done. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're a good student.
So yeah, you encourage people to do what? Thank you.
I encourage people to self-pleasure, aka they call it masturbation, but that's like a hard-on word. So I encourage people to do that without a goal. So your goal is not to go in and have an orgasm. Your goal is to be with you, to take care of you. What is your body requiring in the moment? And that takes a lot of trial and error, because at the beginning you're like, hang on, what's this? What's happening? Yeah, I'm getting this for. What is it? So it's really diving deep into yourself. And there's a lot of wisdom in ourselves.
Right. And it's... Right. And it's about doing that with, you know, self-love and self-care without judgment, right? So it's not about seeing that, oh, well, all these things are bad, or I can't do any of this stuff, or all this sucks for me, or, you know, having all these silly judgments and thoughts that we have. It's about doing it just to see at least where you are, so that you know, and then, you know, if you want from there, then that's where change can start to happen. But I mean, how can you change something if you don't even know what it is that you're trying to change? You're just trying to do different, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And on the shame topic, the shame is huge, because you're going to eat shame for breakfast. I still in my sexual account is eat shame. There's a level of disgust that comes in there, because we've filtered it with so much, and it's just a sacred act. It's nothing like the porn industry says. That's just a dopamine overload. It's not like that.
But so where does the shame come from?
So the shame comes initially from whoever shamed you. And remember, remember I told you the layers. So there's a shame, a collective shame, and who knows where that came from. But in my experience, or experience, I can give you an example, is if your mom and dad taught you from a little child, remember the neuron patterns is very little ingrained in us. And that's why you need to make the stuff conscious, because it's easy to be unconscious. It's a really nice way to react and not take responsibility and just go on. Oh, that's so easy. I mean, come on. To focus and take attention on what's happening takes attention and hard work and energy. So it's on the shame part is, for an example, and we as babies, we do masturbate in our mom's womb at a little young age. And it's very innocent. It's very innocent, this act. So what happens is, if you're like 2 years old and your mom has a background of, I don't know, I don't want to bring a religion in, but has this concept that it's dirty and you mustn't touch yourself, And she sees you're touching yourself. So she's like, no, don't do that. And you immediately, it signals to your brain. Remember, yeah. You're still very little. So your brain signals, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. So a lot of that programming comes from there, from your caretakers. And then obviously, I mean, the life is full of influences from all sides. So society, magazines. So shame on that, but there's a bigger shame as well.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's a very, I mean, shame is such a destructive emotion. I don't even know if it's an emotion, but at least it's like a thought and feeling state, right? And it comes up in a lot of places, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, sex and things like that, it's big for everyone. And despite the sort of culture that we live in, where we are sort of trying to promote getting rid of that, or, you know, not shaming people for various things, or shaming ourselves particularly is a problem. And it, as you say, it does. It takes a lot of hard work, and it's unpleasant and uncomfortable because you've got to deal with that shame and you've got to really feel it. And it's not a nice feeling to have, right? And so it takes a great deal of compassion for yourself to be able to say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to work through this shame, but in order to do that, I got to really feel it and have it be conscious. And that kind of sucks sometimes because it doesn't feel good. And, you know, you really got to like go through the motions of figuring out, like, what am I saying to myself about this stuff? Where are those things coming from? You know, how did people and, you know, different, you know, magazines or literature or whatever it is, how did that affect me and how did that make me feel when I read it or heard it or said it or had that experience? And then be able to take that and not be judgmental towards ourselves for it, because then you're just stuck in the same loop, or maybe it's a different one, right? It's just more judgments. Yeah. And so to be able to do that and really take the time to work through it is a difficult process, but that's how you progress and that's how you change and that's how you heal, right? Is to be able to allow yourself to do that. And this comes back to the self-love thing that we were just saying, where it's about being able to care for yourself without judgment and to figure out what you want and what your body's saying to you and how your mind works and whatever it is. And to do that non-judgmentally is very difficult because our mind just wants to fucking judge everything, right? And that's just what it does. So in some sense, you got to let it do it, but just not take it so seriously, right? Like if you have all kinds of judgmental thoughts about yourself or about the situation or whatever it is, like, okay, that's fine. I mean, you can't really stop thoughts from coming up, but you can sort of just allow them to come up and then just fade away, right? And we do that a lot of the time anyway. We just don't pay attention to it. And so, you know, why is it, I mean, rhetorically speaking, like, how come some of the thoughts that we have, we don't pay attention to and we're like, that was a weird thought, and then we just move on and think of something else. And then other thoughts, we're like, oh shit, I need to think about that now for the next 6 hours. And it's particularly with the negative judgments that we have about ourselves, right? Where it's about like, yeah, like we just get stuck on those. And so to be able to be conscious of your thoughts and to learn to just allow a thought to come up and then fade away or just move on or something like that, that's also a practice, right? And and it is. It's about being conscious of what's going on to be able to do that. And so I'm assuming that, you know, a lot of the work that you do is in this field, right? Is just helping people be kind to themselves and to, you know, not take everything so seriously and allow for things to happen and to be funny and to be mistakes, so to speak, and just working through it gently and kindly.
Yeah, I like your version. That's in a nutshell what I do. So I just like to emphasize on what you just said is The fact that our brain focus on the negative. So that's one of the stuff I do in coaching is I educate you that your brain function is to look out for your safety. That is what it does. So that is why it's negative. So if it's scanning an environment, it's scanning something for your safety. And we are not living with the lions and the elephants anymore. So it takes everything as a threat if we don't work on our trauma that's hidden in our bodies, because we are taught to see anything as an elephant these days, or like a lion, run, or attack. So it's getting to know that capacity you can take and where the triggers came from. And yes, it's seeing those, that thought. I love that the fact that you say we cling to another thought, we cling to this thought, we cling. But what is happening, and I teach this constantly, we come back into the body, because what can happen is your thought pattern was triggered as a coping mechanism. So there's more wisdom regards to the thought itself. It's connected to a sensation, emotion. That's normally why it triggers that. So but making your mind or your thoughts, the relationship to it, with love, and not like, why am I judging this thing all the time? But there's more. There is actually, we go in more. Why are you judging it? So we go into the judgment itself. And in that judgment, there is a lot of reflection and projection and insecurities in yourself that you need to face, that you're not facing, because it's sticky and it's ugly. And that's what we constantly do, because take that shit. I don't want that. and I know from my personal experience, when I started owning up this, all this judgment I have on others, it's uncomfortable. It's like, yo, this is not like it. And it's yet again coming back, taking the responsibility. It is where it is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, it's something that people, you know, reach a point of sufficient suffering that they're like, well, something needs to change, right? Mm. And whether it's suffering, you know, with your sex life or with your relationship or just with your own head, you kind of got to reach that point where you're like, this isn't working. I need to figure something else out. And that's where people start exploring various things to help with whatever it is that they're needing help with, right? You know, there's a point that I want to just circle back to that you had mentioned twice, was this concept of sacredness, right? And that how sex is something that's a very sacred act, not sacred in the sense of like, I mean, you know, the sort of religious sacredness of whatever it is, but it's more just like it's a real fundamental part of life and existence. I mean, nothing in nature exists without reproduction, right? Mm-hmm. And it's such a central feature of who we are and of our drives and of our motivational systems is to be able to have sex. And I mean, from a genetic, I mean, an evolutionary perspective, it's like, yeah, the point's to reproduce, but as humans, we have other versions, non-reproductive versions of it, right? And so perhaps you could talk a little bit more about what the sacredness means to you.
So first of all, the reproduction thing is also cultivated by the culture. So who says we need to reproduce? I know that all the religions and traditions say so, but I mean, carrying on with the 20th century, less and less people are having children. And are we going to make a story about that? Or are we going to shame and judge them on behalf of what? You're not going to get children? So it's more stories to unravel in that topic itself. But coming back to the sacredness, that you ask. Mm. So sacredness to me is, and that was what was missing in my own experience. And that's why I started on the journey, because it was a chore. It was like, you give me this, I give you this. I understand there's a give and take situation in nature itself. That's how it works. The laws of the universe. But there is also laws of harmony and balance, and bringing both parties' desires within this sacred act. It's not just one party forcing, I want pleasure, give me pleasure now. So it doesn't sound like that. I don't know why I'm making that weird voice.
That's okay.
I made it like a dog Vader. Okay, but in any case.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's, to me, sacredness is a healing space where you can feel vulnerable enough to show all aspects of yourself, not just one part. It's all the mask. And even, I mean, you are laying there totally bare naked. That nakedness takes it takes a vulnerability to show this, because, I mean, you have nothing covered and you're showing all your weaknesses, all your goodness, whatever it is. And that takes a level of safety. I mean, I have a thing, and I'm still healing that wounds myself. I do also want to address that there is the mastery level is coming back and learning every day. That's the mastery level. It's not, I made it to the top. It's going back into the mud and going up the mountain again. That's how life it works.
Yeah.
So, to come back to that sacredness, it's where there's a deep healing occurs when the vulnerability of both sides happen. So it's making it, and that's why I don't want to label it what sacredness is to you, but making it for a place for you to, you want to be. So if you want to create like violence and have like the news playing on the background while you're having sex, I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I mean, what is sacredness to you? So coming back to you, and to me, it's I love burning essential oils, having candles, the sky's the limits where you can go on and on and on. But the sacredness, what I say in the sacredness is being able to be vulnerable. That is the sacredness you wanted to create. Because a lot of my encounters was when I was unconscious and when I was drinking. And that is how I coped with sex. And that is not the intention and stuff that I wanted to create into my life. And that's constantly what I attracted, because that was the environment I created around it. Mm. So that plays a massive role.
Yeah.
And your intention.
Excuse me. Yeah. Right. What you're hoping to do and get out of it, right?
And letting it go. Making intention, but letting it go.
Yeah. Yeah, just going with the flow, right? And being able to not have all these expectations of what should or shouldn't be or why or whatever it is, and being able to, you know, be in the moment and enjoy and just live the life as it is, right? And obviously, as you said, you set it up in a way that you want, and you know, hopefully it's with a person that you're, you know, want to be with or whatever it is. And then, you know, you sort of set the stage, but then you still have to let it just be like come naturally and just be as it is, right? As opposed to trying to control every aspect of it, because then you're just stuck in your head again. You're just thinking about how it should be or why it's not the way it you think it should be, or, you know, is it this or this, or what's happening here or there, or, you know, all these, so many things, you can just get so lost in your head that you don't, you're not in the moment anymore, and then you're losing out at that level as well, right? So there's certainly an element of like mindfulness or presence that you need to incorporate, like when you're having sex as well, right?
Sex to me is a great big meditation. So it's letting that thoughts come and go, seeing the disgust coming, seeing it as clouds flowing by, but incorporating what your partner's feeling. And it is, I just want to state that it's expectations, we can go on the bandwagon, no expectations whatsoever, but it's good to have an open line communication between whoever you're co-creating with and how many you're co-creating, because there's also judgment around that. So coming back to what is it that you want, what is your desires, and communicating that and giving healthy expectations. So being vulnerable needs a level of, what do I need to be safe? What is it that I require to feel safe? And communicating that with your partner. So that is a healthy expectation. But if you're expecting something and, okay, I'm seeing this fantasy, but this is not happening. Oh, this partner's not doing it right. I want it like this. And then you say to him, no, this doesn't work. So that in itself is, I mean, even I do encourage my clients is have this discussions, not on your sex experience, because what it's like showing up for a marathon, like a game, and you've not trained. So take the preparation beforehand, type out what you like, what you don't like. And it's trial and error, but in the game, you're not like figuring this out. You had discussed this. And that's why I say you need...
You've done your training.
I do say it's training. And that's why it's coming back to what you like. And it's... How can you expect from somebody to make miracles if you can't know what's happening in your own body?
Right. That's true as well, is it's like you got to know what you are interested in, right? It doesn't help to not even be aware of that, because then you're going in blind and expecting the other person to just know. And it's like, well, how the fuck are they supposed to know anything if you can't tell them anything, right?
So, like,
it's a weird dynamic that, yeah.
And after that, when you started facing that, there is also a dynamic is how well do you take criticism? Because criticism can be, you can have growth criticism, but then you can have criticism that's negative. But what I had to communicate with my husband is at one level, I told him what I liked, and then he says, okay, but you're just judging me, and no. So there is... You have to create that container where you like in loving and compassion with him and saying, listen, yeah, this is kind of what I, and it's really not touching any basis of your personality, but having that open space to speak about that, because some people can't, think it's all about them now and they're fucking up as a lover and, oh, this is the end of the end. I'm never going to get her to orgasm. So, I hope that helps somebody in some way.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a, yeah, no, for sure it will. Because, I mean, you know, people are weird, right? And we do take things weirdly personal. And, you know, speaking at least for myself and for men, you know, I don't know so much on the other side, but there's a lot of, like, insecurity that goes with it. And so when someone like tries to be like, hey, you know, why don't you do this? There can be a reaction of like, oh, what are you saying, that I suck or that I'm not good enough or that I'm insufficient, right? And obviously that's not what's happening. I mean, I guess I could imagine a situation where someone's saying that and they're being mean about it, but that's just because they're full of shit and they're being mean, and that's, you know, not most people. But you're right, I mean, you know, you have to be able to talk to someone so that you can say like, oh, okay, well, this, the, you do this kind of thing, I don't really dig that, can we do something else? Or can we work out a different system that works for both of us? Or, you know, what if you tried this? Or what if you do that? Without being all defensive. And I mean, you know, the natural reaction, as we've been saying, like because of the conditioning and stuff like that, you might be defensive when that happens. Mm. And that's okay. You can just allow that defensiveness to be there. And if you notice it, you don't have to react to it in defense, right? You don't have to get all mad and upset and defensive and be a little bitch about it. You can just be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to hear what she has to say or what he has to say and take it in and see, because, you know, the goal for, you know, you don't want to be against each other. You're trying to work with each other to, you know, get the best for both of you, right? It's mm-hmm. not about who's better or who's going to win, or it's nothing like that. I mean, in a relationship, you're fighting either against each other or with each other, right? You're either fighting for the relationship or against it. And so it's a similar sort of thing, you know, in with sex, where it's like, okay, how do we're a team in this, right? Like when you're on a sport team, I mean, this is a weird analogy, but when you're on a sport team and, you know, another player is doing something that's not working for the team, you're going to be like, hey, dude, like, quit doing that shit. Like, why are you doing that? Like, it's not helping anyone. And, you know, in that context, it's less offensive to that person, right? They don't take it as seriously or as like a personal attack. They're just like, oh, I just need to, you know, run this line a bit different or do something, throw whatever it is. But for some, when it comes to sex, there's definitely this element of like, like, is this an attack on me, or what if I'm not good enough? And I mean, it's a whole lot of nonsense that your mind creates for you in that situation, but it doesn't need to be that way, right? And you can move past it and work together with your partner or whatever to figure it out as a journey, right? Where that's what it's about. I mean, that's my interpretation of it anyway.
Yes, and I do that. That's where what my line of coaching goes in is the clients come back to me, and especially whatever their desire is, and then when these programming gets up, and remember it's a level of dying to your ego constantly. So when you're in this orgasmic state, it's mm-hmm. beyond the ego. It's beyond. You say this, I say that. It's beyond that, and that takes a level of working on. That is why I go deeper into the resistance that you say that comes up, or the insecurities. Those are all hidden patterns within our body that's calling for more stuff to come out. So those patterns we explore deeper. And I love doing that because there's so much wisdom there.
Really getting under the skin with people.
I really like that. I like all the questionings. When I grew up as a child, my mom and dad usually said, why all the questions? And now I say to them, I get paid to ask questions, okay?
Yeah, that's funny. That's good. Mm.
And there's really so much more to your sexuality than we think.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just about, you know, allowing yourself to explore it or to do whatever you feel like you want or need to do. I mean, and, you know, it's interesting, like, society today, I mean, I don't know if I could speak for, like, people of my generation, because I don't know how good of a representation I am of them, but it seems that there's like, well, first of all, there's lots of different kinds of people of all ages, so to say all of this or that would be an error. No. But, you know, there seems to be at least a trend of my peers, let's say, of like less dating and more like casual like sex, and yet not everyone, I mean, people seem to, they kind of want to do it because it's what people do, but they're not really interested in it. Like, they're more interested in like having relationships, but there's not a whole lot of dating that's happening. I mean, there is for some people, obviously. Again, this is a broad generalization. Mm. I mean, I have lots of friends who are married and, you know, all kinds of good things like that. But it's, you know, for me, like, yeah, there is this like hesitation towards it for some reason. And so, you know, it kind of becomes a weird journey now to like explore things, because you're limited to what you're allowing yourself to do, right? So if you're not allowing yourself to go out and date and meet people and connect and figure it out that way, then you're preventing yourself from that whole aspect of it, right?
From living.
There is that need to be able to set yourself up for success. Yeah, to stop from living, basically. And I mean, where do you think that comes from? Have you encountered that at all?
Yes, and I'd like to say that as well. I'm going to give this example. I have a step boy. He is 21 years old. And we were having a discussion the other day. And he said to me, one of his friends at the university was saying at a party, man, when I'm going to try to say in English now, back in the good old days. And he was like, dude, but you're like fucking 20. What good old days are you referring to? So a lot of that is programming that comes from their mom and dads, because they're referring to the good old days. And he said to the guy, listen, like, you're like 20. What good old days are you referring to? So a lot of that, is how
the good old days.
Come on. I mean, really. So a lot of that is taught from our peers. So coming back to sexuality is, yes, we still have a choice on what we want, but we are not taught that there is a deep connection of our being, and we need sexual healing. We need this energy to, our life force energy, to create a balance and this hormones that's so wonderful. I mean, we have, as women, we have 8,000 nerve endings in our pelvic area that is made for pleasure alone, only for that. That's the purpose of it. So
that's a lot.
Charlie, come on, you have 4,000, but not that anybody's counting, yeah? Okay, carry on.
Not a competition. It's just how it is, you know?
Yeah, you know? Okay, but but what I mean by that is, so whatever the generation is cultivating on sexuality, that generation from the previous generation is getting this signal. So they're like, why would I bother? Whatever. Let's just play PlayStation. I'm not saying it's bad to play PlayStation, but they're already making this disconnection with whatever the way they're coping. So to them, like, okay, yo, she's moaning about my sexuality again. I'll just do this on this way. But I mean, the true essence of what it is, to me, if I see the 21-year-old, you can only speak to them on a certain level. But then again, remember, knowledge stays knowledge. It doesn't, if you're not doing it doesn't become wisdom. So I mean, I can speak to my boy, my 21-year-old, but if he don't have a lived experience of what I'm saying, it's just being words. So I hope that answers your question.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense, right? Is that it's very like learned generationally, or, you know, people act in response to what they've been taught, either in accordance or in rebellion to, right? And I suppose that's why you have these various sexual revolutions every now and then, because there's so much like suppression of it and secrecy and all that kind of stuff. And then it just boils up and then it pops or whatever it is. And then, you know, and then it gets interesting because then it's like, well, the children of the rebels, like, how do they view things? And then, you know, if they rebel against the rebellion, then they're kind of like going back to the good old days or whatever it is. Yeah. And it's like, there's just this weird world of like trying to balance things and trying to figure out what works for you, right? And I really think what you said about the lived experience is important, because not something that you just know is knowledge. It's not particularly helpful. I mean, it's nice to know things, I suppose, but it doesn't really do much other than give you something to say or talk to other people about, right? Like, it's not, it doesn't change your being, right? But it's really when you take it in, yeah, and you take it internally and you really get into it, that learned experience becomes, I mean, the knowledge becomes applied knowledge, and it becomes expertise, and then it becomes wisdom, right? Like through going through it and feeling it and really suffering the good and the bad, that you can then come out on the other side and say, okay, well, now I know, but like at a deep level, I know. It's not just know about something or other. And I think that that's a great place for us to end today, because, you know, we've done an hour and I've really enjoyed this conversation. So I thank you very much for coming on today. Is there anything that you'd like to promote? I'll put all the stuff in the description, of course, but, you know, where can people find you or your website or your, you know, well, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Like you said, they can go to Wild at Heart by Lindy and we'll paste the links, and yeah, that's all. Thank you for having me. It was lovely to co-create.
Cool. Yeah, it was a pleasure, and I hope to speak to you again soon. Until then, keep well.